Today on Real Radio.
Isaiah 26:3 says, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee." That word means to have your heart and your mind anchored on Christ. Peter would later write in his epistle to us in 1 Peter 5:7, "Cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you." Isn't that great? Peter, what are you doing? I'm sleeping. Get out of my face. Well, you ought to be worrying. Why should you be praying? Why should you be sleeping when you can be worrying? That's exactly why I'm sleeping, and that's exactly why I'm at peace in praying. Casting all your cares upon him because he cares for you. Do you know what kind of a deal that is?
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his verse-by-verse series through the book of Acts. We're looking at the first 19 verses of chapter 12. Peter had been thrown into prison because Herod evidently wanted to please the people who were in defiance of the gospel. But King Herod was in for a surprise. You see, believers had been praying for Peter, and those prayers were answered. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs, continuing in his presentation called When God Answers Prayer.
Everybody wants to talk about prayer. Not too many people really want to do it, and even less than that, I think, understand it. But so often, God will use a crisis in our lives to get us to pray. He will often use even the life of a believer, a crisis, to get us on our knees that he can hear from us again. And on that slope playing with my kids, when I mangled my finger, I went, "Oh, Lord!" And the Lord said, "Jack, it's so good to hear from you again. How's it going?" "My finger hurts," you know. He just wants to hear from us. Prayer. What happens when we pray? We have a crisis here, and maybe you do too. Verse 3, "And because Herod saw that it pleased the Jews," circle that in your Bible, the Jews. It's not necessarily the entire nation, but the nation's leaders, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, and the lawyers. "He proceeded further to seize Peter." Now, it was during the days of unleavened bread, or Passover. Some of your translations might say Easter. That's unfortunate. Easter is a pagan celebration. This is Passover. "So when he had," verse 4, "apprehended him, he put him into prison and delivered him to the four squadrons of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after Passover." There's two things that are very important. First of all, four squadrons. The word in Greek is tetrads, four of them. 16 guys. 16 Roman soldiers. Listen, four of them. And this is, they actually did this. So guys, especially if you've ever played army guys, you're going to hear this. Four Roman soldiers that make up one squad, they were so trained and so armed in such a way that four of them could hold off, and they did this in maneuvers with their own soldiers, up to 1,000 men. They could protect a 20-square-foot area from 1,000 guys. Just by their military tactics. Doesn't that sound impossible? Yet they were able to do it. We're talking bad guys here. We're talking major buff soldiers who don't care because they have been engineered, they have been programmed not to goof up. Strong guys. Elite soldiers. And so Peter is bound. And Herod's intending to kill him at Passover, or after Passover. We know that he's intending to kill him, and we'll prove that in a moment. And it says there in verse 5, "Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer went up." The people are praying. Peter's in jail. James is dead. We've got a crisis going on. We've got a serious thing happening here. Peter is absolutely bound. Make no mistake about it. You can go and visit this prison on a Holy Land tour, but he is chained. We're talking about, think about the kind of day it is out here right now. It's cold. For some of you, you might think it's miserable. I think it's wonderful. Can you imagine being on a damp, cold day or night in prison, the type of prison that this is, and it's absolute stone, and you're laying there, and Peter is chained to these guys, and they have intentions to kill him? He already knows, you already know if you're Peter, that they killed James earlier. Herod tried to destroy the church by killing James, the apostle. Now he's moving over to attack Peter. Peter, the big leader from Jerusalem. And besides all that, if we've been coming through Acts, we know that Peter is the one who's beginning to get pretty tight with the Gentiles. That's got the Jewish leadership all upset also. So this is going on. Peter enters prison, verse 5, but constant prayer was offered up to God for him by the church. I want to draw your attention to something right here, and we'll be going. Verse 5, notice this, jot this down. Their aim of prayer is God. They're not praying to a crystal ball. They're not praying to a statue. They're praying to God, direct. Paul the Apostle tells us there's only one mediator, there's only one go-between between man and God, and that is Christ Jesus. Only one. Note this, second thing. They are in constant prayer, or it's earnest prayer, serious prayer. Serious prayer. They're not playing games about it. They got a real struggle in their life. The third thing I want you to take note of is that it's by the church. The church is praying. God help us to be a praying church. Are you desperate enough? No, I just came to church, kind of breeze in, do my religious time, and get out. Well, there's people praying to that, or behind that door, right to your left, there's guys back there and women back there praying right now that your attitude is adjusted. There's people praying for every service that we have. There's people back there praying. There's people, when you're sick, you pick up the phone and you go, you know, I'm sick, right? I just went to the hospital and I got bad news. There's a prayer chain from this church and they're praying for you and you don't even know who they are and they're praying. But let me ask you, why did you pick up the phone to call the prayer chain to begin with? Because everything was going great? You think we ever get calls? You know what? I just want to tell you, things are going so good. Things couldn't be going any better. I just thought I'd call the church to tell you. That does not happen. It comes from everything from a little guy getting his dog run over to somebody getting a decree that they have cancer. Prayer. Crisis generates prayer in our lives. The church is praying. And yet people don't go to prayer meetings. It's not important enough. I don't mean this in any evil way at all. God knows my heart. But sometimes in Friday morning prayer, we'll have people show up that definitely go here, but I've never seen them at Friday morning prayer. And then afterwards, they want to talk. But you know why they came to prayer? Because they lost their job. Or they came home and they found a note. And the husband's gone away now with someone else. So they head for the prayer meeting. That's a good place to head. But we need to stay in that place of constant prayer. The church is praying. Verse 6, and when Herod was about to bring him out that night, Peter was sound asleep. I mean, the word in the Greek, sleeping, he is out. He's sawing logs. He's snoring. Now look, get this in your mind's eye. He's sitting, at best, I guess he's sitting because he's chained to these guards. It's cold. He's sleeping. First of all, I sleep so light, I have to have earplugs when I'm outside my own house. Man, I got to have earplugs if I'm going to sleep. I hear everything. I can hear anything and everything. Can you imagine Peter sitting there and the chains are rattling? These poor guards next to him. And Peter was a huge guy, big fisherman. Can you imagine? He's just sawing logs. He's out like a light on the day before he's going to be killed. I don't know about you. I might be concerned. You've already got the rumor that James is dead. Finding out it's true, they arrest you. They take you to prison. You're someone who's being used in the church. Could they be on a roll here? Could my head be on a roll here? He's got to be thinking, but he's out like a light. We're not talking about some little sleep. He is absolutely zonked out. Listen to this. Jot it down. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. You know it. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God which passes all understanding. You understand what that says? Which passes all understanding. I don't understand why I have so much peace. You're not supposed to be able to understand it. It's too much peace. Enjoy it. You ever been there? When somebody comes up and says, you know what, there's nothing we can do for your little girl. It's just a response. It's how her body responds. 50% chance to live. We don't know. All of a sudden, there's a peace that floods over you, and you just go, wow, this is totally out of my hands. There's absolutely nothing I can do. God, you are God. And that's all there is. And that's enough. Crisis brings you to that place. The peace that passes all understanding. Psalm 4, verse 8. Psalm 4, verse 8 says, I will both lie down in peace and sleep for you alone, O Lord. Make me to dwell in safety. Do you have peace in your heart? You can build the biggest house up in Chino Hills. You can have that one house I saw back there. They have a heliport for their helicopter, I guess. That's great if you got to have it, I guess. You can have all that kind of money. You can have all that stuff. Do you have peace? Is there a river flowing through your heart that is calm and peaceful? Or do you respond day in and day out to the events of the week or the hour like a spring cut loose? Every phone, every knock, you just bounce. You're constantly stressed out. That's a horrible way to live. The joy of the Lord is to have that peace that's running through. You can have that peace. You know what, though? I think Peter had the word of the Lord in his heart. Personally, this is my opinion. I can't prove it. Peter's sound asleep. I think it's because he knew that he was going to die at an old age. You want to know where I get that from? John's Gospel, chapter 21. Jesus said, you're going to be, actually, if you read John 21, verses 18 to 19, Jesus is telling Peter that he's going to die at a very old age. I think Peter believed that. I think Peter believed the word of the Lord. But you got to give him an A for still being able to sleep. At least I have to. He's out like a light. One of my favorite scriptures in all of the Bible, Isaiah 26, 3. And listen, if you are in a crisis right now, or if you plan on being in a crisis soon, tomorrow's Monday, you know. Isaiah 26, 3 says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. That word means to have your heart and your mind anchored on Christ. Isaiah 26, 3. Peter would later write in his epistle to us in 1 Peter 5, 7, cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you. Isn't that great? Peter, what are you doing? I'm sleeping. Get out of my face. Well, you ought to be worrying. Why should you be praying? Why should you be sleeping when you can be worrying? That's exactly why I'm sleeping, and that's exactly why I'm at peace and praying. Casting all your cares upon him because he cares for you. Do you know what kind of a deal that is? Every week the trash truck comes down the hill and you throw your trash into it and you drive away. Or he drives away. That guy takes that burden. And boy, let me tell you, if it's there for an extra week, it's really a burden. But he takes it away. Jesus comes by and he says, what are you doing? Oh, I'm so stressed out about this thing. I got a burden. Jesus says, why don't you give it to me? Can I do that? We saw a show a little while back. It was so cute, and this guy was filled with vengeance. And what happened was this events that took place in his life, all of his vengeance was appeased and made calm. And he sat back and he said, gosh, what do I do with myself now? I've dedicated my life to vengeance, and I don't know how to live anymore. And there's a lot of people like that. They're angry about this, or they're worried about that. And God says, give me your problem. Cast all your care upon me. I'll care for you. But we're afraid to do that, and we're so funny. We're like a fly fisherman. First time I saw a fly fisherman, it freaked me out because he's got this little fly on the end, and he throws it out and throws it back. Throws it out, throws it back. Throws it out, and throws it back. What kind of a weird fish thing is this? You got to get the bait in the water. But that guy knew exactly what he was doing. But we are like spiritual fly fishermen. We're goofing up all the time, man. We get out there, Lord, I'm going to cast my care upon you. And I'm going to take it right back again. And we reel it back in. Let me, and oh, I've got to worry about this. I've got to hang on to this. And then, yes, Lord, I'm supposed to cast this onto you. And we throw it out to him. And then we are so uncomfortable about peace that we reel in the stupid thing that we're worrying about. Cast all your cares upon him. You know, the church is praying. Peter's in prison. And we have the luxury of John chapter 15, verse 7. That tells us there that if God's word abides in our heart, we may ask what we will, and it shall be done unto us. That's a promise from the Bible. Isn't that radical? The key is his word abiding in our hearts. This is the church praying. Watch what happens. Was the word abiding in their hearts? We'll see. It says in verse 7, "Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and the light shone in prison, and he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, Arise quickly. And the chains fell off of his hands." This is funny, because Peter's absolutely asleep. Can you imagine an angel showing up? And he's there, and there's a light glowing, and Peter's, he's just sawing logs. He's out, there's an angel. And I think the angel went, "Psst, Peter, 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 get up." Because the word struck in the Greek, it's funny, it can go either way. It can be to push, to stimulate, or to push to a fatal point. You can, same word is used. You can push somebody in this word, and depending on the context, to the point that you kill them. Which is kind of funny, because knowing Peter like you do, and like I do, it's somewhere between a gentle arousal and almost knocking him out to death. It's like, "Peter, get up. Peter, get up." And Peter woke up, and look at his, he doesn't stand to his feet and say, "Oh my gosh, an angel, what's going on here?" He's aroused, the angel strikes him, verse 7, and look, and raises him up. The angel's got to lift him up, saying, "Arise quickly, will you?" It doesn't say, "Will you?" I'm just throwing that in. It's, "Get up!" It's funny, angels, when they appear in the Bible, they're always in a hurry. It's true. Have you ever noticed that? They're always in a hurry. They're never hanging around. They show up, they do their thing, and they get out. So he says, "Arise quickly." And the chains fell off of his hands. That had to make a noise, don't you think? Chains hitting the ground, but yet nobody wakes up. Peter's barely awake. Verse 8, "Then the angel said to him, Gird yourself." This cracks me up. Watch. "Gird yourself, tie on your sandals." And so he did. And he said to him, "Put on your garment and follow me." All these little commands. Stand up. Put your shoes on. Put your jacket on. Comb your hair. Straighten your tie. What's the matter with you? I mean, Peter's like, "Oh my gosh, what's going on?" He doesn't have a clue. We're going to see it in a moment that he's thinking that he's having a dream. I wish we could have seen this. Don't you wish Spielberg would do this? Wouldn't it be great? The angel says, "Follow me." I think I would do that. Verse 9, "So he went out and he followed him and did not know that what was done by the angel was real." He doesn't have a clue. Whoa, what a dream. I sure need this to happen in my life. He doesn't have a clue. Just like you and I, God is working in your life right now. Oh, no, he's not, because you don't know what I'm bound to. I've got First Interstate on the left, I've got, Visa to the right. I've got this in front of me, and it's hopeless. Hey, listen, God works in hopeless situations. The scripture says that these things were written as an example for us. We need to trust in him. We need to follow him. But we think our situation is so impossible that God could never do it. And he's doing it right now, even in the midst of your doubt. Verse 10, "When they were past the first and the second guard post," basically we're talking about going through Pentagon clearances here to get out of this place, or trying to get into Disneyland, take your pick, either way. We're talking major security here. We're talking major obstacles. "They came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord." I like that. So Peter walks up there, and there's this angel, presses this little button, I guess, and this garage door opener thing does the, it's automatic. The angel and him walk up, and the gate opens. Peter's now saying, what an awesome dream. This is a great dream. I could sure have this happen in my life. That would be great. And immediately, verse 10, the angel departed from him. Peter's all alone. And when Peter had come to himself, that is, he came to his own mind. See, he's been kind of wigged out this whole time. He's been in the daze. This can't be happening. But it says right here in verse 11, he came to himself. And I love this. He talks to himself too. It says that he said to himself, now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jewish people. So when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname is Mark, where many were gathered together praying. Why did he go there? How did he know to go there? This is the upper room where Jesus had the Last Supper. This is Mary Mark's house, her son, John Mark. Remember John Mark? John Mark's the one who wrote the Gospel of Mark. This is the upper room. It was known to hang out for Christians. It appears in other portions of Scripture. It was a neat place of fellowship where people gathered together for celebrating the Passover and for prayer. So Peter gets out of prison and he heads for the prayer meeting. He heads to that godly home. And it says in verse 13, as Peter knocked, you ought to mark that. It's not three knocks and let's wait. He knocked three times. That word in the Greek means he knocked maybe four times. Now he's going, knocking and knocking. He kept knocking. Well, Jack, what are you getting on them for? What was the big deal? It's a prayer meeting. Can you see this? We're praying. We're in here. We're praying. We're in the upper room. Somebody's knocking. Don't answer that door. It's a prayer meeting. They'll go away. Let's just stay focused on God. Don't let it, just forget it. Just stay focused on God. Let's pray. Stay focused on Him. Don't worry about the doors. Don't worry. Just stay focused on God. And He's is not going away. With that going on, keep reading. You can hear the knocks in the background. Verse 13, as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a girl named Rhoda, or Rose, or Rosie, came to answer. And when she recognized Peter's voice, because of her gladness, she didn't open the gate, but ran in and announced that Peter stood before the gate. But they said to her, verse 15, you're out of your mind. This is a prayer meeting. We're praying for Peter to be released. What do you mean he's standing at the door?
That's right. What's wrong with this picture? Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. In a presentation called When God Answers Prayer, a look at the first 19 verses of Acts chapter 12. We'll continue with our journey through the book of Acts on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio, so be sure and join us. Now, we are talking about events that happened in Israel during the Roman Empire. Yet, some 2,000 years later, Israel continues to be the hot point of the planet in many ways. While the so-called mainstream media is only going to give us part of the story. So in January, we're hosting the Southern California Bible Prophecy Conference, a three-day event, the 11th, 12th, and 13th. In fact, just visit SoCalProphecyConference.com. SoCalProphecyConference.com. You'll learn just about everything you need to know about registration, local accommodations, and airports if you're coming from out of town, and the amazing lineup of speakers, all in one weekend. Now, it is a ticketed event, but it's only $25 for the entire weekend. Again, SoCalProphecyConference.com. To get in touch by telephone, toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Radio. Real Radio is made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.